to reflect a little on what Senator Warren had to say and more on the events of this week, it's time for Brooks and Capehart. That is New York Times columnist David Brooks and Jonathan Capehart, columnist for The Washington Post. It is so good to see both of you smiling faces on this Friday evening. And I do want to get to Senator Warren, David, but first let me ask you about today's jobs numbers. They were disappointing. It was expected there would be many hundreds of thousands more than there were. Did these numbers say something about, frankly, the wisdom of President Biden's economic plans?
Maybe. I don't think we know yet. But, we're doing two gigantic experiments that are really unprecedented in American history. We've never spent $6 trillion in such a short period of time and gone into debt while doing it. If the two other Biden plan passes, it'll be $10 trillion. At the same time, we've never seen Fed expansionary policy this momentous. And so this is an experiment, and maybe it'll pay off. But maybe there'll be inflation. Warren Buffett's a little worried about inflation. Other people are worried about inflation. Maybe, as Michael Strain said earlier in the program, the fact that people are paid to stay home means that I don't want to get a job. I can hang out at home, what seems a lot better. And so I don't think we know the answer to what happened, but it was a shocking number. And we just have to pay attention to the fact that this could go sideways in a million ways because we're doing something really risky.
Jonathan, do you see that this makes some sort of statement about what President Biden's doing?
I don't think so. Not yet. We cannot, grade the entirety of President Biden's fiscal plans based on one unemployment number. We've got to look at the long haul here. And so the jury is out on that. However, we have to think about, to all the things that David was just talking about in terms of the inflationary concerns and all of that. We have to also talk about the fact that we're also dealing with a global pandemic, people being reticent. As much as folks want to get out and restart their lives, there are a lot of people who can't find jobs, are too afraid to get out there for fear of what's going to happen with the pandemic. And also, on top of all of it, even though lots of states are starting to reopen, some more fully, like New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut have announced, but they're still slowly reopening. So I think it's a little too early, Judy and David, to start being gloom and doom over the state of the economy, not just yet.
Well, in connection with all this, you heard Senator Warren. I asked her about her plans to tax the wealthy. She has a much more, shall we say, ambitious set of proposals, even than what President Biden has put out there. David, where do you see any of this going with regard to taxing the wealthiest in order to pay for what he wants to do?
Well, it's pretty popular. And it's also just a fact that wealth is concentrated over the last 30 or 40 years. It's also just a fact that corporations have done extremely well and corporate profits have done pretty well. So if you want to tax things to pay for things, these are probably the least bad things to tax. There is going to be a cost, when you raise the corporate tax rate, and on the margins, companies will flock to a place with a lower corporate tax rate than a higher corporate tax rate. That's probably true on the margins. But it seems to me the Biden administration has chosen the appropriate areas to raise taxes.
And Jonathan, what do you see when you look at taxes and President Biden and what Senator Warren's saying?
Well, one, I agree with David in the last point that he made. But let's also remember, they're still in the middle of negotiations. And even though I think the initial number the president has put out there, wanting to raise the corporate tax rate to 28% from 21%, and before that, under Trump, it was 35%, and he lowered it that much. That the president and the administration have been sending signals all along that they're willing to negotiate on that piece. As for Senator Warren, of course, she is going to shoot for the moon and the stars as a means of, one, because she believes it, firmly believes it, but also as a way of trying to push the president further. Push him to do more than maybe he thinks he's constitutionally capable of. But if the American rescue plan is any indicator, I don't think she's going to have to push too hard to get the president to think imaginatively about how to go about his plans.
Let's talk about the Republicans, David. A lot going on in that party the last few days and next week, a vote upcoming among House Republicans. It looks like they are going to kick out Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming as the conference chair in the House because she's not only insufficiently loyal to President Trump, she's saying he actively should not be the person the party's following. What does all this say about the Republican Party?
Well, it's still Donald Trump's party. It shows that you have to, more or less, as everyone is pointing out, you sort of have to be a lie to qualify. You have to lie to qualify to be a Republican. And that's the standard that is now being laid down. And Elizabeth Cheney just didn't want to lie. There's also a lot of internal politics here that what they want from a person in the leadership role is the ability to get them reelected. And so the House members are worried that because she keeps picking on this issue, she's going to be less effective at raising money and getting them reelected. Elise Stefanik, the person who's probably going to replace her, has read the party. She was a Harvard-educated person who worked in the Bush administration, endorsed John Kasich, and sat out the 2016 convention because Donald Trump was going to be the nominee. Ruth Marcus, our friend, has a good column on this. And she's now a roaring Trumper. And so she's read the wins, and that's what this is all about.
In fact, Lee Stefanik just said in an interview, Jonathan, yesterday, that President Trump is the strongest president ever when it comes to standing up for the